Have you ever traveled to connect with your higher self? It may not always be the intention, but this is a natural result for guests visiting Wilcatica in the Sacred Valley of Peru. Owner and manager Terry Humes tells us the history of this immersive wellness eco-resort and how it vibrates with the energy of the Andes. Situated in the center of the Incan Empire, Wilcatica honors the indigenous culture of the Quechua people. Not just in the healing modalities, though that is an important part of the experience, but also by putting money back into the community. The food is harvested on site by Quechuan farmers. The indigenous ceremonies honoring Mother Earth have been adapted and implemented as part of the company culture. And the team at the property is made up of Quechua people, healers and all. A telltale sign for me is the staff's tenure. 20 years later, this team is still a close-knit family. In fact, Terry shares a personal story of healing that was made possible by the care given at Wilcatica. As you listen, think about what you would like to experience during your stay. Personally, I'm dreaming of trying a solar bath where it's warmed by the sun and then taken under the stars, and spending countless hours exploring the seven chakra gardens. Are you getting excited? Well, thank you for listening today and always. If you haven't already done so, please rate the podcast on Apple or Spotify. It's a simple way to support me and increases the likelihood of others finding through inspired eyes. And don't we all deserve more wellness in our lives? Enjoy the episode and remember, travel can heal. Are you looking for ways to be a better you every day? Has travel assisted your healing journey? I'm Jackie Roby, Chief Excellence Officer of Inspired Journey Consulting and your host for Through Inspired Eyes. Travel is one of the tools I use to overcome trauma. As a sales strategist and diversity, equity, inclusion advocate, I work with healing travel businesses to amplify their voices. It is my mission to grow emotional intelligence, promote healing, and ultimately create a kinder, more inclusive world. I'm grateful to have you here. Welcome to Through Inspired Eyes. I'm incredibly excited to have with me today the owner and manager of Wilcatica, Terry Humes, calling us from the property in Peru. So welcome today, Terry.
Good morning. Thank you, Jackie. Pleasure to be here. Yes, I'm calling you right now from the Sacred Valley in Peru, which is the area nestled between Machu Picchu and Cusco. It's a beautiful part of Peru. We're about 9,000 feet elevation in the middle of the Andes, and it's also known for the center of the Incan Empire. So surrounding us are all of the most famous Incan ruins, architectural marvels, colorful Andean markets, and beautiful mountains for hiking and exploring. So this is really kind of the most sacred and also most beautiful part of Peru, in my opinion, of course. And we are close to Machu Picchu. So a lot of people come here on their way to and from Machu Picchu, as well as to do a lot of types of wellness and spiritual travel.
Oh, that's incredible. The energy must be so powerful and beautiful.
It is. It's palpable. When you land in Cusco, which is a bit higher, 11,000 feet, you feel the energy of the Andes, and people have been attracted to it for many, many years. My mother started coming here in the 80s and built Wilcatica in the 90s. And so I've been coming here since 1990 and took over about 5 years ago with my wife. We moved down here from California, and we've been living here for the last 4 years, including the entire pandemic. So it's actually been a wonderful place to settle down.
That's amazing. What a fantastic way to grow up in a space of travel and exploration and also connecting with indigenous cultures.
That's actually exactly the reason why my mother decided to purchase land here in 1994 and build this property, because she had written a book in the 80s about the Quechua culture called Pachamama's Children, Mother Earth and Her Children of Peru in the Andes. And that book became sort of the basis for what we do at Wilcatica Wellness, which is honor the indigenous cultures, work with Quechua healers and shamans, and do native Andean rituals and expose foreigners to these rituals so they can learn how to connect with Mother Earth and nature and deepen their own spiritual practice.
Wow, that's incredible. So let's talk a little bit about that experience. When a guest comes to Wilcatica, Is it programmatic? Do you have scheduled retreats that they join? What does this look like?
There's several kinds of travelers, but we typically work with groups. And so the groups would be a special interest group, typically yoga or wellness. And they'll come here for 7 to 8 days and do a full program that we organize for them. And that program would include Machu Picchu, Cusco, which is the Incan capital, a couple of the markets around the valley like Pisac and Ollantaytambo, which have beautiful ruins, some hikes, and some Andean ceremonies. And what typically happens is the average traveler comes and wants to see everything. I would be the same way if I were coming to Peru for the first time. And so they get quite tired because the altitude, they're hiking, they're exploring, they're shopping, they're doing all of the wellness activities. And then they basically say, wow, this was amazing, but next time I come back, I just want to stay at Wilcatica and enjoy your beautiful gardens. And so what typically happens is they'll come back, maybe they'll bring another group, and they'll just spend more time in the gardens doing the activities that we have here, the ceremonies, the spa treatments. And then they'll really focus on the wellness practice. So I would say there's kind of two experiences. The first one is more of a tourism experience with a lot of spiritual content and a lot of wellness, but a lot of activity. And the second one would be more of a traditional wellness program where you're rooted in one place and you're doing those types of activities. And so during the pandemic, because we weren't seeing a lot of tourists, in fact, there were no tourists from overseas, we really focused on our 7-day wellness program. And the Peruvians actually were the ones that came for the most part of the year. And we were able to really introduce people from Lima, which is the capital, to the Andean culture that they didn't even really know about. And so we were taking people from the cities and bringing them to the Andes and teaching them about their own culture, their own traditions, their own ceremonies. And it was really quite transformational, especially since many of these people had never really experienced yoga or wellness before, being from a big city like Lima. And so we really doubled down on the wellness program. Turns out that now the whole world is looking for this, and we're getting called from people all over the world who want to come and do a wellness program. They still want to do Machu Picchu and Cusco, but they're really interested in having a deeper experience.
I love hearing the result and what's coming your way. That brings me so much joy.
Thank you.
It's so interesting too. I love that during the pandemic, you were able to teach locals more about their own culture. And I think that speaks so highly about what you do, and also this opportunity that we all have to change our perspective in our own backyard.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because Peru has two different worlds. They have European Peruvians who live mostly in the cities, and then they have the Andean Quechua people who are indigenous, essentially descendants of the Incans. And they speak Quechua at home. Spanish is their second language. And they practice a very close connection to Pachamama or Mother Earth. So the people that work for us, and we have 20 staff who have been with us for over 20 years, they are all Quechua farmers who grew up making offerings to Pachamama, doing what that's called Pago la Tierra, where you do an offering for Mother Earth, talking about the sacred mountain deities. And so that is their way of life. And we've just adapted it. It's become, since my mother wrote her book, very much part of what we do. And so for us, it's quite normal to do these ceremonies and to honor Mother Earth. And so when the people from Lima and the city started coming, we were happy to teach them what we do. And we were surprised to learn that they'd never done it before. They'd heard about some of these things, the same way that maybe someone in North America would know a little bit about Native American traditions, but would never practice them. And they were really interested in learning more. So we have a fairly well-known yoga teacher in Lima who comes here several times a year. And she likes to tell people she learned about her own traditions from Americans and South Africans and Lebanese and Russians and some of the people that live here in the Sacred Valley that work with healing. The pandemic for us was obviously a challenging time, but a really beautiful opportunity to share what we do with people who would have normally not experienced it.
That's amazing. I would love to learn a little bit more about some of the ancestral rituals or traditions. Would you talk us through one of them?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, because a lot of people come to Peru. I'll mention this right away because it's going to come up eventually. They come here for what's become a very popular tradition, which is plant medicine. So the typical master plants that people come here to explore are ayahuasca, which is in the jungle, which comes from the jungle, and the San Pedro cactus, which grows all around, but particularly in the northern coast and the desert, and also here in the Sacred Valley. So we get asked a lot about, well, do you do these things? And what I tell them is those plants are practiced here in the Sacred Valley, but they're not from here. And so what we try to teach at Wilcatica are the native traditions that are from the Andes. And so the plant that's the most sacred here in the Andes is the coca leaf, which is funny because the coca leaf actually comes from a subtropical area around Quillabamba, closer to the jungle. So if you were going to go from here downriver towards Machu Picchu, you would go from 9,000 feet where we are now down to 8,000 feet where Machu Picchu is. And if you were keep going down to the cloud forest, you would get to the area where the coffee is grown and the fruits are grown and the coca leaf is grown. And so that coca leaf is brought up here to the Andes and is used for ceremonies by all the Andean healers. So we have a man who's very famous. He's been coming here for 25 years. His name is Don Benito. And he is what's called an Andean priest or a Paco. And what he does are offerings to Pachamama. And he comes here once a month whenever we have a group. In fact, we have a group arriving today. And Don Benito will come tomorrow and we'll sit down with the group and they will all sit in a circle and he will explain in Quechua. So we will have a translator. He will explain that we are now going to honor all the different elements. So we're going to do a special gift to Pachamama and we're going to do a special gift to the Apus, which are the sacred mountains. And we're going to honor the lakes and the rivers. And he'll have everybody in the group, and there may be 30 people there, all mention a lake or a river close to where they live that they'd like to honor. And then we'll mention all the local mountains around here in Peru, including Machu Picchu and Alsangati and Salcantay and some of these amazing 20,000-foot peaks. And so that process will take around an hour. And through that process, he will basically put together a beautiful, it's like a big Christmas present. He wraps up everything beautifully, and it's all the things that are valuable to the Andean people. So we're talking about things like different types of grains, kiwicha and quinoa and corn, seeds, candies, sweets, little bits of gold and silver, coins. He'll even, if it's a very important situation or a very important offering, he'll put a llama fetus, which is the most sacred thing that will go in an offering. This will all get wrapped up in a beautiful presentation with an encunia, which is an alpaca cloth, and then presented to the group. And the group will each take a coca leaf or three coca leaves, and they will bless them. And that's called a quintu. And a quintu is a coca leaf blessing. And the three leaves symbolize the three worlds of Andean cosmology. So if you've studied shamanism, you would be familiar with the concept of an upper world, a middle world, and a lower world. In Peru, these worlds are very much part of the cosmology. So you have an upper world of the condor or Hanak Pacha. You have a middle world of Kai Pacha, where the living beings like the puma and the human would live. And then you have a lower world, Uhu Pacha, where the snake and the other types of mythical animals live. And so the three leaves, which are part of the quintu offering, the three coca leaves are symbolic of these three worlds. So we would hand out coca leaves to each of the participants, and then he or she would do their own blessing and put that leaf into the offering. And then after this is all done, there'll be some blessings and some chants, and the offering will be put in a fire as a gift to the mountains. And then once the offering has been burnt, the mountain god, the Apus, are then grateful for the offering, and we give thanks to them, and it's a beautiful ceremony. We do a fire ceremony. And so that is something that now in Peru has been quite well received by the masses. People are coming, they want to do these offerings because they realize that it's a beautiful and a very sweet and simple tradition. And so you'll see this offered in more places. 25 years ago, when we were the only wellness center here, this was something very unique. And Don Benito would come for 3 days. He would journey here from the mountains to do this offering. I think the interesting thing is that we do it for the Peruvians now, which we didn't do before. So the Peruvians are also asking for that. So that's one example of an Andean ceremony that we would do at Wilcatica. There are, of course, others, but that is probably one of the most beautiful and sweet ceremonies that you might get a chance to witness if you're here. And it's called a despacho, which means an offering or something that you dispatch to the gods. Or sometimes it's called a pago a la tierra, which literally means payment to the earth, a gift to the earth. You can call it an offering, a despacho, a pago a la tierra. And there are different words in Quechua that describe the process. But essentially, you're just giving gratitude to Pachamama for everything that she's given us. And that, for an Andean person, usually means a bountiful harvest, food, water, and the gifts of the earth. And so that is really, in a nutshell, a lot of the essence of the Quechua and the Andean culture that we're here to celebrate.
That's incredibly special. When your guests come and experience this, have you seen a change in them?
Well, you see a lot of changes in people when they come to Peru. People are coming here for transformation. They're coming here for healing. And there's a lot of things that contribute to that. So the ceremonies are a big part of that. And that grounds them to the earth and it grounds them to the place where they are and the people that they're visiting. But the energy of Peru, of the mountains, of the gardens, of our property are powerful. And as I mentioned, palpable. So people will come here and immediately feel calm. And they'll connect to the birds that we have. We have dozens of types of hummingbirds that fly around. We don't have a lot of Wi-Fi access. In fact, we were just nominated by Vogue magazine as the best digital detox wellness retreat of 2022 because we don't actually have Wi-Fi around here. I'm hiding in the one corner of the property where I can connect to you. But we think that's the reason why we have so many birds and the animals are so happy and the insects are buzzing around. And so there's a feeling of energetic lift here, and the vibration of the property is very strong. So that is another factor. The food that we grow here is organic and vegetarian. We harvest all our own food. So it's literally farm to table. And then that contributes to the well-being. We do wellness activities like yoga and meditation, and we do a lot of wonderful hiking around the area into the mountains. So all those things contribute to this feeling of release and of restoration. And so I think the ceremonies kind of give you a framework with which to discuss it, and a framework that's meaningful and real. And then you complement that with all the different activities, the food, the therapeutic spa treatments. We have these amazing flower baths where you sit outside in a stone carved tub and you look out at the stars while we put medicinal herbs and salts in the baths. We have an amazing team of massage therapists who've been with us for 20 years. And so there's a whole bunch of things that contribute to the feeling. And so that's why I mentioned earlier on that originally people would come and want to do all the tourist activities and want to see Machu Picchu and Cusco, but then they came back and they wanted to just be here because that's really where the healing takes place. And you can have an amazingly transformational trip when you're running around seeing all these incredibly sacred sites, but your body will be tired at the end of the day. And so the goal is to have people feel restored, especially after what everyone's been through the last couple of years.
Absolutely. I love and appreciate that you not only honor traditions, but that your team is made up of the Andean people. So you're giving that support and monetary care to the people that are bringing to life what your guests experience.
Yeah, I think that's really important. When people used to talk about eco-travel back 20 years ago, that became a popular term. A lot of it was about hiring and supporting the local community. Now that's just become a more common concept. But we were, from the very beginning, employing literally the neighbors. So when my mother moved here in 1994 and bought this piece of land, it was all rocks and she was camped out in a tent. And the locals walked up to say, "Who is this crazy white woman sitting on our property by herself?" Because she was by herself at the time. And they offered if they could help her. And she said, "Yes, I need help. I want to build a house." And they all, of course, know how to build. The Quechua are descendants of the Incas, so they're very good with stones. They know how to build anything. And so they started building. They also knew how to garden. And it turns out my mother is a master gardener. So she would give them instructions, say, "I want this and I want that." And they knew exactly what to do. And so together with the help of these neighbors, a family of over 20 people contributed to building our property. When you walk around Wokatika and you talk to the staff, you feel that it is theirs and they feel it is theirs. So the loyalty and the commitment and the pride of the property is among all of the people who contributed to it. That is something that makes us very unique. And I like to bring it up first whenever I talk about Wokatika, I talk about the staff first. And a friend of mine who runs a luxury tour company, she said, "Yeah, that's true. But really all the staff in Peru are wonderful and all the hotels have wonderful people." And I said, "That may be true, but they don't have people who have been with them for 25 years, whose brothers and sisters and children have helped build the property. There's just an incredible loyalty here from our staff and from them to us and from us to them. Because of that, during the pandemic, we were the only hotel that stayed open. We kept our entire staff employed. So we had all of our staff working and building and maintaining gardens and making essential oils and doing whatever we could to keep them employed. Now, of course, everybody had to reduce their hours, but we managed to keep everybody on payroll. So they all had their benefits. And I think we were the only hotel for the period of a year and a half that remained open in the Sacred Valley for the whole time.
That's huge. I mean, that's an accomplishment globally.
Yeah, it's true. I have a friend who works in the hotel business in England, and she said to me, "Wow, I don't know any hotel that stayed open during the whole pandemic." It was also a wonderful place to be during the pandemic. I mean, I don't want to focus too much on the past, but it was a beautiful and safe place to be where we had our own food and we had our animals and we could work the land. And it just felt like the right place to be. I had friends all over the world who were suffering, and they kept calling me and saying, "Well, it must be terrible for you." And I said, "Well, of course, economically, it's terrible. And for many people, they suffered in other ways. But in terms of being in the right place and energetically being taken care of, we felt very lucky to be here."
I'm curious, because this has been part of your being, your soul, for most of your life. But your wife, this is a big move, is it not?
Great question. I wonder that all the time, how she's so happy here. And she's running around the property right now feeding the chickens, but she loves it here. And she's a business person. We both met in business school. And so she is an investor and can work really anywhere in the world. But she just loves being here. And she loves the people. We meet such nice people. She's very social. She can do all her work on the phone and keep in touch with people around the world. She likes to say that we're almost at market hours here, so she can do her finance work here. So she's been amazingly happy. Sometimes I almost wonder why, because this isn't her baby, like it's mine. But she's very involved in the business and she does the garden tours. And she, as I mentioned, feeds the chickens and the dogs and loves to talk with the guests. So she's been very happy. And we could end up staying here many more years. We don't know what life will bring. But right now, we're really enjoying it.
Being a financial investor, that is a really fabulous balance. And that sense of calm must be a gift.
Yeah, it has changed her. It definitely has. I mean, she's still involved with her women's groups and her investment groups. The next step is to try to get other people from that world to come down here and to really make an impact by affecting people in the corporate world and in the investment world and in the political world. So right now, we're sort of in many ways preaching to the choir. We've got wellness and yoga people who've been coming here for 20 years. We don't have to say much to get them down here. They are on a plane and ready to go. But the business folks are now becoming interesting. And so for us, my wife, Tristan, and I, it's a real exciting opportunity to bring, for example, YPO, Young Professional Organization. They want to come down here next year. We have a couple people who are investing in wellness technologies. In fact, one man is here right now from England, and we had another man from Canada here and his partner. And they are really excited about investing in wellness and in psychedelic therapies and all kinds of things. So bringing those kinds of thought leaders down here is going to open up possibilities for us. And I think we'll make an impact on their communities, which are the people who we need to impact.
I love that so much. Did you know that turnover can cost a hospitality business 33% of the employee's salary? Not only that, but this industry has a 31% turnover rate. That's 3 times higher than recommended. Think about this when you're choosing your next salesperson. Shouldn't your funds go towards success? I know that every inch of your wellness resort was designed with thought and intention to serve the guest and contribute to their healing. It's beautiful. Well, let's design your sales and marketing team with the same tender, loving care. Throughout my career, I've met thousands of sales professionals. Even the most talented and successful struggle to properly sell wellness travel. Why is that? It's because they don't fully understand it. Inspire Journey Consulting offers wellness travel, sales, and marketing training that's curated to your property. With our support, your team can reach new levels of prosperity. Rather than continually pay for turnover, why not invest in retention? Let's talk more about it. Visit inspiredjourneyconsulting.com and go to the training page under the services menu. Or simply follow the link in the show notes. Schedule a discovery call today. I can tell you that working in travel, when wellness entered my world, I thought, how do we internally as the travel industry not have as much access to this? And why are we not bringing it into our own businesses? And the opportunity to take those lessons and bring them out to the corporate world is huge.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because in the travel industry, you would think that people would have had access to wellness. And a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic, actually, Hilton sent their global wellness directors here to Wilcatica. We had the head of Hilton's wellness department in Asia, South America, Europe, North America, even the Middle East, all came to Wilcatica to learn about Andean wellness. And it was such a nice thing to have these people who had been running one of the largest hotels in the world, focusing on wellness and spas, and then come here to learn from us about the different perspective of wellness. And I think that would have turned into a lot if it hadn't happened right before the pandemic. I think we'd see a lot more of that happening. Of course, that industry sort of stalled, but I think it'll come back with a vengeance and we'll see a lot more of that happening, I hope. And also travel agencies, some of the bigger travel companies in Peru, there are two really large travel agencies that would never even think about wellness, are now calling us constantly and asking us about wellness and yoga, which 2 years ago they weren't doing. And the reason for that is obviously because their clients from North America and from Europe are asking for these things. And so they're having to learn to respond. The trend has taken off, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the industry.
I love it. I'm interested to know, when you were growing up in business school, starting your career, all of these really important moments, how did your life immersed in healing and wellness prepare you in ways that maybe your peers reacted or responded differently?
No one's ever asked me that question before. People usually want to know the story of my mother, how she came here, what made a woman come on her own and build a place in the middle of the Sacred Valley in the 90s. But in terms of my experience, I was actually already an adult when she moved down here, and I was already in college. So I'd been exposed to a lot of her spiritual traditions since I was probably a young teenager. So I already had a yoga practice. I already had a meditation practice. I already had those tools in college. I think I did yoga most of the time in college and business school. In fact, I probably taught yoga to people at business school and took them on hikes and did a lot of these things. So I was always the weird guy that people came to and said, oh, teach me about that. And people were always interested. I grew up first in Southern California, and then I went to both college and grad school in the Bay Area in Northern California. And so people were always open and interested, but I never knew it would keep growing the way it did. When I was doing a lot of yoga in the 90s, I thought, well, this is a thing that's going to peak because it was barely starting back in the 90s. And now everybody and their cousin is doing yoga and meditation and wellness. So yeah, I was exposed to it early on, which was definitely a gift. And I think when my mother came to Peru in the 90s, very few people were coming to Peru. There was still terrorism in Peru. Americans were warned by the Department of State not to come here. So there were plenty of tourists here. I remember doing the Inca Trail back in 1990 and seeing Japanese and Argentinians and Germans, but not a single American. And then around 1994, when they took care of most of terrorism in Peru, then the Americans started coming down. So yeah, there was definitely a period of time where this was pretty off the beaten path. And now I would say it's obviously one of the world's top bucket list destinations to come to Peru. And everybody who hasn't been is probably planning to come.
And how would your yoga practice, your meditation practice, how did that assist you in times of stress?
Well, I think it's helped me be really grounded and calm. I'm not a particularly calm person by nature. I'm pretty amped up a lot of the time. Type A, worked in the corporate world, did all kinds of startups and management consulting and all the things that pretty high-paced people do. So it was always important for me to have balance and to learn how to calm myself down. And I think for my wife too. I guess I'll give a recent example. During the pandemic, when it wasn't clear if we would have enough cash to keep the hotel open, I was very zen about it. And I was also very optimistic. And I would have to think that would have come from my spiritual practice because I don't know where else it would have come from. I was very confident that it was going to work out, that we were going to figure out what to do, that we were going to keep our staff employed, and that we were going to be okay. And we were. And you know, there were other people saying we should shut down the hotel, we should stop spending money, we should lay people off. And these are the types of people that I would have studied with in business school, and they would have been the smartest and the most successful people. And I just knew that that wasn't the right thing. And I remember laughing to myself and thinking, all my training in business would have taught me to do the exact opposite that I'm doing. And so that must have come from a deeper connection with the work that we're doing and a connection to spirit that has guided me in my career and to do things that were probably non-traditional. Another example, when we started working with the Peruvian market, it was a nice idea to sell our program to Peruvians, but we knew they couldn't afford it. So we had to severely discount it. And it basically just kept the lights on and it covered our costs. And so from a business perspective, that wasn't a bad decision. But when my friends from business school would call me and they'd say, well, how is this new business that you've created, this wellness program that you're running? I'd say, well, it's five times as much work for one fifth of the income. And they would all laugh and say, well, what did you learn in business school? Why are you doing this? I said, I don't know. I just feel like it's the right thing to do. We're enjoying it. It's keeping us busy. It's keeping our staff employed. And it turns out that we're making a real impact on the life of people in Peru. And Peruvians suffered probably more than any country that I know of in terms of the mortality rates, the infection rates during the pandemic. So they really needed it. And I think we were able to give back that way. But it was definitely not a rational business decision. So I would have to think it would have come from a very different place.
That is spot on. And thank you so much for sharing those, because I can see how that happens. I think it will resonate. I know it does with me, and I'm sure it does many of our listeners. It shows that opportunity, really, of listening, going deeper, hearing your intuition, and coming from a place of abundance, not scarcity.
Exactly. That's a great way to say it.
One thing that you mentioned was that you have seen an increase of diverse clientele coming to Wilcatica, and also having such a loyal guest base of women. It emphasizes the safety and also space of inclusion that you've created.
We have had a lot of people of color coming this year, groups. We have had three groups this year led by African-American women who brought mostly people of color here to do yoga. And we have another group arriving today. We're a woman-owned organization, my mother and most of our staff from the beginning are female. And we've attracted a lot of LGBT travelers, a lot of women traveling alone. I think they feel safe here. As you probably know, women are the most adventurous travelers and travel a lot more by themselves than men do. So that's always been something. But we noticed more and more that the typical traveler now will be a woman traveling on her own. And we just ran a wellness retreat last week. There were 8 people. 7 of them were women, and all of them were traveling on their own. That type of feeling of safety has attracted different types of groups. So we've had groups from the Middle East. We're working with a group in Africa. My family's originally from South Africa, so we've tried to bring a lot of people here from South Africa. But to be honest, it's still predominantly white North Americans in the wellness market who come down here. We're happy to see that expanding.
I love that. Thank you for always having open hearts and building a space where people feel safe and sense of equality. So I would love to know, Terry, how has travel supported your healing journey?
Ooh, wow, that's a long story. I've gone through, as I'm sure most of us, my own healing journey. My wife has also gone through hers. And when she was recovering from a stroke that she had about 7 years ago, we came to Wokitika. That was the obvious thing. It wasn't necessarily the wisest thing because she was still receiving a lot of treatment, but we knew that we needed to be here. We moved mountains to get the doctors to clear her so she could travel. And we came down here in 2014 and spent 6 weeks really just doing healing work for her. She continues to recover and she's done phenomenally. But that has been, for us, just a no-brainer that if we were going to take care of ourselves and we needed to come down here where we could be in a place where we had good food and we had healers, abundant different types of healers around who could work with us, a safe place where we could do yoga and we could do physical therapy or cognitive therapy, whatever therapies we needed to do, this was the place for us. If I had a medical background, I would have probably made this a kind of place where people could come and do physical therapy or post-stroke recovery. But there's so much other healing modalities going on here that we know a lot more about. So we're focusing on what we know, which is wellness and yoga and healthy living. But yeah, there is an opportunity to do a lot of deep therapeutic work here. And it's already happening all over Peru and all over the world. So it's been a big part of our personal journey.
You're in a space where you have to be probably more positive to support her through this, right? And this strength in relationships, we tend to volley back and forth in order to support each other best. But that had to have taken its toll on you. So how did being in this space of healing, traveling to Wilcatica, being in Peru, how did that support you?
We're very supported here with our staff. I mean, we're very well taken care of. They are our family. So in the States, and my wife's originally from Australia, we have to travel pretty far to see family. I have to fly down from San Francisco to Santa Barbara to see my father. My wife has to fly to Sydney to see her mother. So when we're at Wokitika, we have 20 family members living with us, and they're all living in this community around us. So if we need anything, if we're not well, they'll prepare an herbal concoction for us. When I burnt my leg, I had 3 women coming to me with different herbal brews. When I fractured my knee, I had a bone doctor come by. I mean, there's just so many different types of healers here and so many people that we know well and trust. We felt very well supported here. We had a woman here last year from the Bay Area, actually, a lawyer who had breast cancer. And we've seen a few people come down here to recover from cancer. And she spent 10 days here and still writes to us regularly about how amazing it was for her and how she learned so much about her own healing journey just by being here and sitting in our gardens for 10 days. She didn't even need to go and do plant medicine ceremonies or do a lot of really intense work. She was just here and grounded in the place that we live in, and she was able to heal herself. So we do see those things a lot. And it's hard to explain without coming here and just feeling the energy of the place, because then you get a sense of what we're talking about when you're sitting in the gardens and you can feel the sun and you're looking out onto the mountains, and then everything starts to make a little bit more sense.
Terry, I really appreciate how you've spoken to both physical and emotional ailments and opportunities for healing. And when you mentioned having that family of 20 there to support you and just some of the intuitive ways that they were there for you, I could feel that deeply. When you are having to care for someone, having to care for others, being cared for, it's the best release. Also knowing that you could have a second to breathe because your wife would be taken care of no matter what.
There's a saying in medicine, healer, heal thyself. And in caregiving, it's care for the caregiver. You can't do healing work if you're not taking care of yourself. And some of us are able to maintain ourselves and we have the discipline, the practice to take care of ourselves. And most of us need help. It took me a while to find the people that I would really want to work with because like anything in life, you've got to do your research. So for us to find a shaman that we want to work with or a yoga teacher or a healer, we spend months and months talking to people, interviewing people, trying out different classes. And we are now at the point, now that I've been living here full time for almost 4 years, where we have a whole team of healers. And it's taken 4 years to get them. And it changes. So people move and shamans get discovered and flown around the world to give tours. And so you have to constantly be cultivating your team and curating your experience. And I think having been here for the last 2 years and building a wellness program during the pandemic, we really had a chance to vet everyone and to make sure that we're working with the best of the best. And so that's been the, I think, most exciting thing for me of the last 2 years is now we've got not just one or two people that we used to have, but we've got a team of a dozen healers and including our massage therapist. There were two, now we have four who are wonderful. We have a half a dozen yoga teachers, most of them trained internationally, who were living in Lima that have now moved to the Sacred Valley. And so we've really gotten a lot better at being taken care of because we've taken the time and done the homework to find the right people. Because as I tell people all the time, if you come to Peru and you say, oh, I'm being called to do this, or I'm going to find a shaman, you will. It doesn't mean you'll find the right one. Because there are so many people wandering around the streets of Cusco doing healing work and trying to make a living that you can't really blame them for saying, sure, I'm a shaman, or I'll take you on a healing ceremony, I'll teach you this. And so you really these days, and this is my word of caution, I think, to the public, is you really have to do even more work now because there's so much out there that just because there's a lot of it doesn't mean it's all good. You have to do your due diligence. And especially if you're going to do something like plant medicine, really be careful. And don't just think the universe is going to necessarily send you the right person because they will send you a lot of people and you will have to make the choice yourself. And that's where your own intuition and your own experience and your own connections really make a difference.
Terry, thank you. That's so important. And it's really interesting to hear the wellness washing that happens, not just in the tourism industry, but also among healers. Truly appreciate all of the work and commitment that you've put into finding that team for Wilcatica and continuing to cultivate that family. I can sense that we would all benefit from being in their presence and having their support.
Thank you. I hope you get to meet them yourselves. There are certain places in the world that are considered healing vortexes where people come and feel the energy. And this is certainly one of them. So it attracts a lot of amazing people.
All right, Terry, well, what are the best ways for someone to find or learn more about Wilcatica?
Well, there aren't a lot of websites or businesses named Wilcatica in the world. So as long as you have a rough sense of how to spell Wilca means sacred. It's Wilca is W-I-L-L-K-A. And then Tika, T-I-K-A means flower. So Wilcatica is sacred flower because of the seven chakra gardens that we have here. So I didn't mention that, but we have seven gardens. And so we name the property after the sacred flowers and the plants that we grow in our gardens. If you Google Wilcatica, you will be able to find everything about both our group programs, our wellness programs. Individuals and families come through here all the time and just stay for a couple nights, as well as the groups that stay for a week. So we both have the individual travel market or the family travel market, as well as the special interest group or the yoga and wellness market. So both of those are welcome here.
Thank you so much. I could have an entire other conversation and call with you about the chakra gardens. So
yes, please come and see it yourself. We also have a video on our website, but yeah, feel free to come visit us, to call us, to email us. We're out there and ready for you to come.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Terry. I'm so grateful for you and for your time and all that you're doing in this world to help us heal.
Thank you, Jackie. And thanks for everything you're doing to bring people to the places they need to go.
Of course. Until next time, stay inspired.
Thank you for joining Through Inspired Eyes. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and join the Travel Can Heal Challenge. Go to inspiredjourneyconsulting.com/travelcanheal to learn more. Until next time, stay inspired.